My name is John Erling, and today's date is April 12, 2023. So, Bill, would you state your full name, please?
I'm William Ray Nash.
Your date of birth?
July 14, 1935.
And your present age?
87.
Soon to be 88.
Correct.
William Ray Nash. Any story to that name?
No.
All right. What was your father's name?
Walter Jones Nash.
All right. Down south, everybody, you went by that second name, right?
Double names normally.
So you grew up as Billy Ray?
Billy Ray, James Morris, Marshall Everett.
Right.
Edna Earle, my wife.
And we're recording this in our studios of voicesofoklahoma.com here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Where were you born?
In Elberton, Georgia.
Where is that in Georgia?
That's in northeast Georgia, and it's called the Granite Capital of the World. And I was born on the square, on the second story, above, the last time I was there, Moore's Menswear, in a little private hospital called Thompson Johnson. And it closed the next year after I was born there.
They didn't want any more of this, right?
They built a public hospital there a few blocks away where my younger brother was born 2 years later.
Okay. Your mother's name?
She was Frances Naomi McCurley Nash.
And where did she grow up?
She and my dad both grew up near each other in right along the border of Hart and Elbert counties in northeast Georgia.
And what kind of personality did she have? What kind of person?
She was quiet, sweet, thoughtful, loving, perfect mom.
Yeah. Good cook, too, I suppose.
A very good cook.
Right. Your father's name?
He was Walter Jones Nash.
And his personality?
He was outgoing. He was an old-time preacher man. Very dynamic, Oral Roberts style. Never stayed behind the pulpit. Always came down, walked up and down the aisles, talked to the people, called them by their name. He was dramatic and had an interesting career.
Was that his full-time calling as minister?
Yes. He started in life early as a teacher at Emmanuel College. Back when he was teaching there, it was called Franklin Springs Institute. And he taught, believe it or not, French and history. And later he was a principal of a consolidated school there. And then he entered the ministry. Well, he was already in the ministry. He was pastoring several small churches simultaneously once he finished his schooling. My mom and dad both graduated from the University of Georgia back in the early 30s.
Hmm. So then your father, was he a traveling evangelist?
He was for a while. But he pastored a number of small churches in his early years, and fairly young in his career, he was elected bishop for the state of Georgia. And he served quite a long term there, and then he became pastor of the largest church in the denomination, the National Church in Washington, D.C., at 610 Maryland Avenue Northeast. And after that pastorate ended, he went back and became bishop again.
The denomination we're talking about?
Pentecostal Holiness.
All right. Oral Roberts was a member of that too, wasn't he?
Yes.
Right. So then let's find out about you, your education. Where did you start school?
Well, I started at Royston, Georgia, public schools, and went through the first through the eighth grades. And then I transferred to a private religious school called Emmanuel Academy. And I was in ninth grade. I had 4 years to go before I graduated. But, John, I was in a hurry. I took five courses each year instead of four. And at my senior year, I had finished 15 hours. I took the 16th hour from the University of Maryland by correspondence, and I graduated 1 year ahead of my normal class.
Okay, so why were you in a hurry?
I had things I wanted to do. I wasn't sure what they were, but I wanted to get out of the red mud and the pine trees of North Georgia and find my mark in the world.
Going on in the world in 1941, December 7th, You would have been 6 years old or so. Do you have any recollection of
I do. I remember us putting quilts over the windows when we thought there was possibly an air raid to darken our homes. I remember listening to the radio every day to hear the news from overseas, from both in the Japanese arena and the German arena. I remember it well.
Did you have friends or loved ones who joined the war?
I had my dad's brother served in France, Uncle Tom. Mm-hmm.
Was that kind of a scary time for a young boy?
I wasn't too afraid. It seemed that the war was a long, long ways to my small mind.
Yeah, yeah. So you get out of school, and what year did you graduate?
1952.
All right. Then what do you do?
I went on to Emmanuel Junior College, graduated in 1954, and then I went to the University of Georgia, 1955, and I got married the day before I finished my junior year.
And what year was that?
That was in 1955, May the 29th, to be precise.
Okay. But let me bring you back to high school. You had an interest in radio.
I did.
Tell me about your high school radio experience.
Well, it came about because the high school I went to, Emmanuel Academy, and the junior college were all combined. Same faculty, same buildings. And they had a radio program on WKLY in Hartwell, Georgia, on Sunday afternoon, where the students would go and sing and talk about the school. And one day, the announcer was sick and couldn't go, and they asked me to fill in for him. And I went over to that radio station, the first time I was ever inside a studio, and I did the announcing that day. And the following week, I had a second opportunity. And I thought, wow, this is great. People out there everywhere are hearing me talk today. A few weeks later, I was in a jewelry store buying my wife an engagement ring, and they told me that Joe Wilder was leaving WKLY and starting his own station down in Barnwell, South Carolina. I got in my car and I drove straight to WKLY and I asked to meet the manager, Max Fender, and I told him I wanted Joe Wilder's job. Talk about brash.
Yep.
He said, let's go in the studio. He ripped off a couple of pages from the UPI wire and he handed me a couple of commercials. In those days, all the commercials were in a loose leaf notebook and you just turned the page and read. And he said, read this news story, read this news story, read this commercial. I did. He said, when can you start? I said, in the morning.
So what was your shift? When did you work?
I came at daylight. It was a daytime station. I signed on at daylight and worked till 9 o'clock. And 14 miles away, I had a 9:10 class to start school. I never made it on time.
And they understood, I suppose.
They did.
Right. So then,
and then I came back and I worked an afternoon shift from about 4 till sign-off, and then I worked weekends.
Wow.
And I earned $175 a month, John.
Well, was that tall cotton?
For me, tall cotton. I would have paid them for that job. Yeah. I loved it.
So you got the radio bug.
I did.
All right. Did you go to another radio station?
I did. When I transferred to the University of Georgia, I applied for a job at WGAU, the CBS outlet there, the voice of the Bulldogs, and I got that job. And I worked nights and weekends there. I had a wonderful show started at 8 o'clock every night called Dancing in the Dark. And it was primarily aimed at the student body. They would call and request music from the fraternities and sororities and from the dormitories. And I played wonderful music.
What kind of music?
Pop music.
Was it big bands then?
Yes. Right. Al Hibbler, Unchained Melody. That was my wife's favorite, so I played that for her every night. And let's back up. When I was at WKLY, I had a show every afternoon called Sundown Serenade. It was 30 minutes of instrumental music done only by the Three Sons. That was S-U-N-S. You never hear them anymore. But they had some beautiful instant music featuring an accordion, and one of those was my Isle of Golden Dreams. And I played that right at 6 o'clock every night for my girlfriend, who I knew was listening down in Royston, Georgia, 15 miles away. And the night I proposed to her, it was midnight, 1954, in my mother and father's living room, sitting on a oriental rug in front of the fireplace, listening to WSM in Nashville, Tennessee. I proposed to her. She accepted. I reached in my pocket and got out that little half-carat diamond that I'd worked so hard to pay for. And as I slipped it on her finger, the disc jockey on WSM started playing The Three Sons, My Isle of Golden Dreams. And she said, "Wow." And I said, "Stick with me, girl, and I'll take you there." She did, and I did.
Was that just by accident?
Purely accident.
That song was played.
I think it was a message from the Lord.
Isn't that amazing?
Totally amazing.
You could have told her, "No, I called the station and I had to do that," but no, somebody else did that. that's a great story. So then we're talking about Edna then, obviously.
Yes, Edna Earle. And 5 months later, she graduated from Emmanuel Academy at 6 o'clock. We got married at 8 o'clock, and my father tied the knot.
So and how old were the two of you at that time?
She was 17, I was 19. And I went back to the University of Georgia the next morning and took a French exam at 8 o'clock. And I told Dr. Womack, my wonderful teacher, I said, "Mrs. Womack, when you grade my final exam today, please remember I got married last night and my mind was not on Parlez-vous Francais."
That's great. That's great. And so he gave you a good grade, I'm sure.
I passed.
That's wonderful.